Hello, friends. I'm talking to you about session one for about restoring our souls. It's KMI 503, Restoring Our Souls. And you may wonder what this is all about, and I hope it becomes clear shortly. My voice is a little bit difficult, so I'm hoping it will work right now. Excuse me. Let's see if it works. This is session one, part one. There'll be another session, part two, that goes with this session. This first session, we're going to talk about what is our soul. What is our soul? And I think most of you know that because of Adam's rebellion during creation, Adam lost his connection to the living God. He had no relationship with him. And because of that, you and I have inherited a corrupted seed through the generations from Adam up through our parents, the corrupted seed. And we've lost our awareness of God until we're born again or born anew or born from above or had a conversion experience. There has to be something that we need to awaken our spirit again so we can be in touch with the Spirit of God. But because of this Adam's rebellion, brokenness became part of this world. Just everywhere you look, you see broken lives, broken people. You see this problem, this addiction, that addiction. You see the different problems people have because of the brokenness that entered our world because of Adam. And here's the three scriptures I'm going to read to you in Psalms 41:4. And David is praying, "As for me, I said, Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you." Heal my soul. And in Psalms 143, verses 3, it says, "The enemy has persecuted my soul." The enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me to dwell in dark places, like those who have long been dead. In Isaiah 39:15, Isaiah the prophet wrote, "What shall I say? For he has spoken to us, and he himself has done it. I will walk quietly all my years because of the bitterness or anguish of my soul." The bitterness or anguish of our soul. So you can see right up front that there are many different conditions our soul can be in. And you're all here and signed up to take this Zoom group. I'm assuming because you want to change. You want to become different in some way inside. And that's not always easy to do. We try hard to change. You know that. We try very hard. We try hard to make a difference, but change doesn't come by trying hard. Personality is really difficult to change. But the Bible tells you and I that we can be transformed by one thing, by the renewing of our mind. And when our minds are transformed, this results in a radical reorganization of the self from the inside out. Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed. In other words, trying harder isn't going to do it. But we can become transformed if we know how to have our mind renewed and to break free from the lies that are embedded in our mind. Renowned author John Maxwell wrote, "People change when they hurt enough that they have to." Shall I say that again? People change when they hurt enough that they have to. Or they learn enough that they want to. Or number three, they receive enough that they are able to. Sometimes, you know, we look around and we see somebody who has something more than we do. And we want it. There's something in us that wants that. We all hope, I think we all would wish we could wake up some morning and just be radically different on the inside. We want to believe in the possibility of change, real change. And I was wondering, If you can think of a time in your life when you knew you wanted to change and did. Can you go back over your life and think about a time when you changed, made a real change, and you did? When you come to group, the first group, perhaps you'd like to share that with the group. You know, I want to, you already know most all of these things. And I remember many decades ago after I experienced the Holy Spirit, I began to see so much in the Bible that I wondered what it meant. And there's a wonderful scripture. This is, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? In other words, who are you? Who am I that God cares for us? And I did much reading and much studying. And I wrote out, found many different descriptions of man, the inner man, the outer man, the hidden man of the heart. So many different descriptions. But in this class, we're going to talk about the soul. I've done other classes and groups on the spirit and what our spirit is like and how it helps us. But we are a three-dimensional human being, a person with three parts. Listen to this scripture I'm going to read to you. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it says, verse 23, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without any fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of peace himself sanctify you. That's an important word, sanctify. We'll talk about that in part B, part two of this, my next recording. What does the word sanctify mean? Paul is praying or speaking here to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul, and there's that word soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, he says, faithful is he who calls us. He will also bring it to pass. And this is what he did for me. I began to change me inside by renewing my mind, by causing me to see things differently, by healing my wounds, healing my broken heart, by giving me inspiration and revelation of truths in the Bible. And I began to change in through the years. 7 or 8 years this went on. And I'll explain more about that later. But in read 1 Thessalonians 5, and it has some really good scriptures in here where Paul is telling you to rejoice always. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another, for all men. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it goes on, and it comes again to 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be made complete without fault or damage. So we are a three-dimensional person. We have three parts, a body and a soul and a spirit. And the question is, what is the soul? You know, and I found that very difficult because I began to read all kinds of, on the internet, and began to read all kinds of ideas on the soul. I thought it was very simple. In my mind, it was the will and the emotions. The will and the emotions and the mind, the will, and your emotions. Maybe I don't have it even right now. But I found it was very difficult for anybody to explain what the soul is. And it seemed very confusing to me. And I finally stumbled across something in a book written by Dr. Benner in The Care of Souls. And he writes about the rediscovery of soul and its care. He said, back in the early 1900s, people no longer were interested in the soul. It was unfashionable, he wrote. In other words, it was out of date. Nobody cared about the soul anymore, so nobody wrote about it until in 1992, a man by the name of Thomas More wrote of a book, Care of the Souls. But before then, this the soul was how he wrote it. The concept of soul was pushed to a back burner in the theological kitchen. It was pushed to the back burner. You know, if you have a stove and you got four burners up there, as this is the way that he's describing it, in the theological kitchen. In other words, theology ignored the soul, and nobody wrote about it anymore. But we know in the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of emphasis on inner healing, or healing of memories, things like this, but nobody talked about the soul, and I didn't understand it either. But this study that I've been doing for you, I've written so many notes, but it's more than you could handle, so I'm just only giving you little bits and pieces that I wrote down, okay? But the soul is very important to us, and the key text I'll share with you later, but it says in Psalms 23 that God will restore our soul. He wants to restore our soul. But here are some other scriptures on the soul. Mark 12:39. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You notice it doesn't say your spirit. It says with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And in Luke 1:46, I always was blessed by this scripture. After the angel came to Mary and told her she was going to have a son that would be called Jesus. And she said, my soul exalts the Lord. My soul. Here's that word soul again. My soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. So here is Mary talking about her soul and her spirit. And back in Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2, David, I guess it's David or somebody in the Psalms wrote this, as the deer is an animal, pants for the water, so my soul pants for thee, O God. So what he's telling us is that our soul wants God. It needs to know God. It needs to have a relationship with God. And it goes on in the scripture and it says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Psalms 42:1. And 1 Peter 2:1 talks about, beloved, I urge you to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. 1 Peter 2:25 talks about that we've been straying like sheep, but now we return. This is Peter writing. But now you've returned to the shepherd or bishop of your souls. 1 Peter 1:22, you have in obedience to the truth purified your soul. Pay attention to that word purified. It's similar to sanctify. Our soul has to have something happen to it. Something has to change in our soul. 3 John 1, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. And there are many more scriptures that I've written down. And you could notice that when you read the Bible, look for the soul, the words about the soul. There is another one more. There's a couple more I see. Maybe I'll read to you. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul. This is in Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul. In Proverbs, it says, knowledge will be delightful to your soul. So I went to look for a definition of soul, and I looked up in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I looked up in the Evangelical Dictionary and in the regular dictionary. Basically, they're all saying the same thing. The soul is the subject of human consciousness and freedom. Each human soul is individual and immortal, immediately created by God. The soul does not die with the body. This is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is separated by death. In the Evangelical Dictionary, it's called Baker's, I don't know who they are, but it says again, the soul represents man's own special and distinctive individual. The dictionary A dictionary just says it's the non-material essence. In other words, our body has got a material essence to it, but our soul and our spirit do not. It includes our identity, our personality, our memories, our creativity, our emotions, and it survives the body after death. That's from a dictionary. But here's a simple one. This is the one I think that you'll like the best. And I think maybe you already saw it or seen it when I sent the notes out on it. But Dr. Rob Reimer, in his book Soul Care, suggests that we think of our soul as being like a container, like a can, filled with things that you have not confessed, not processed, not repented of, or dealt with. I'm going to read that again. Think of your soul as like a container. In other words, it's filled up with these things until you've processed them, confessed them, repented of them, or dealt with them. And they hinder you from having experiencing the fullness of God. You can see those words, fullness of God, a lot in Paul's writings in Ephesians. These things that fill the container of your soul leave out any capacity for the love of God to fill us. That's why it's important that our soul be restored, that our soul that is changed in some way. And when I was going through this time in my life, I didn't have that information about thinking about a container, but I read this scripture in Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. Jesus is talking, and he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." And he says, clean up the inside of the cup first. And that's very similar to what Dr. Rob Reiner says. Think of your soul as like a container. Think of your soul as like a cup. It's been cleaned up on the outside, but the inside is not. It's full of greed and self-indulgence. This is what restoring the soul is, what we're going to be looking at in the next 12 weeks together. I could give you some of the Greek and Hebrew words on soul, but a modern man, we really refer to our soul as the psyche. And that's the Greek word, I believe, for psyche. For soul is psyche. P-S-Y-C-H-E. Dr. Benner thinks of the soul as the reflective space between you and events in your life. The reflective space. Soul allows you to transform those events in an experience and make meaning possible out of them. Because we're a human being, not an animal, the heart wants to make meaning. Why did that happen to me? What does that mean to me? You've all heard me say this example. What does it mean if your father left your mother when you were 4 years old? You only know the facts that he's gone. But you want your little four-year-old heart wants to understand why. It wants to put meaning on it. We do that with our soul. You can think of the soul as the middle ground between your body and your spirit. But listen to this one. Soul thrives in reality, but withers when we choose to live in places of illusion or denial. These are some quotes on the soul. Soul thrives in reality or in truth, but withers when we choose to live in places of illusion or denial. Soul grounds us. I think Carl Jung wrote a book called Modern Man in Search of a Soul. That would have been back in the 1930s when nobody talked about the soul anymore. But the soul is part of the real you. Think of yourself as the spirit and the soul. This is a part of you, the immaterial inner core of your human personality. Spirit denotes life as having its origin in God. And soul denotes life, I don't know if you understand that word, as constituted in humans. But both, however, described the inner core of human personality. It's important that we know the real you. And have a living soul, a psyche that can be transformed, can be changed. I want to talk for a moment about the difference between the heart and the soul. This is not, again, very clear to me. Maybe I'll be more clear to you. But your heart, soul, and spirit sometimes be interchangeably used in the Bible. The heart and the mind are also intimately connected. You know, if you have a depression or anxiety or anger or chronic stress, do you know that affects your heart? It makes your heart more likely for heart disease to happen throughout your life. Negative emotions take a great effect on your heart health. But Christianity, spirituality, reverences the human heart as loved by God unconditionally. God so loved the world. He loves you, friends. He loves you. And this is what he wants, your heart to be clean inside and to be pure inside. It says in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That was a big concern to me many decades ago. And another time I'll explain that a little more. But the Bible in Romans 5 talks about God's love has been poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. It says that God's love has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to you. So this restoration of your soul has a great deal to do with the Holy Spirit also. But before I finish part one, I want to talk to you about the heart a little more. The heart is refers to the core and center of everything. It's the source of hidden springs of your personal life. It's the center of your initiative, your creativity. This is what Jesus meant when he spoke of the thoughts and actions coming from the heart. The heart is a generator of physical life. It also is the center of your intellectual and emotional life. The heart is where you make choices motivated by your desires. If you remember David in the Old Testament, had in his heart, he wanted to build a temple for God. It was in his heart to build a temple for God. And it says in the New Covenant that God will put his word in your heart and in your mind. Not written on tablets of stone. This is in, I think, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 or 4. I'm not sure exactly. But he says in the New Covenant, it won't be the covenant of Moses written down on tablets of stone. But he'll put, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've given us that new covenant. Jesus, that you've given us your blood was shed that our sins can be forgiven. And Lord, that we can be made whole and that our soul can be restored. We thank you, Father, you want to give us a new heart. A new heart, Father, that's clean on the inside. And our heart, listen to this though, the heart contains the roots of all your problems. The heart contains the roots of all your problems. Healing always begins in the heart. That's why it's so important that you surrender your heart to God. You give him permission to access your heart, to go to work in your heart and to bring into the light the things that you've never recognized before, things that you've never dealt with before, unforgiveness of somebody, anger at somebody, something bad that happened to you that you've never made peace with. Jesus tells us the roots of our problems are found in our heart. In Matthew 12, I'm going to read it to you, verse 34 and 35. But you can write these scriptures down, you know, read them in your own translation. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. But you can read it in your German Bible, or you can read it in other translations. And maybe you'll get more from it if you do that, friends. That's why I'm giving you the reference. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. You brood of vipers, how can you be an evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. That's why it's important to watch your words, to watch what you're saying, what you're thinking. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is out of his good treasure what is good. And the evil man brings out out of his evil treasure what is evil. I don't know if I wrote that down right or not. You might check it out. Matthew 15, verse 18. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and these defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thefts, false witnesses, slanderers. These are the things which defile us. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile you. Remember how it always was, make your wash your hands where you come to the dinner table. But Jesus is saying that it's something inside of you that's far more important to be clean than your hands. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, it's Matthew 5:8. For you shall see God. We want to experience the fullness of God and the fullness of the life of God that we were created to live. We must deal with the issues of our heart, not simply our external problems. It is the issues of your heart that keep you from loving God, or yourself even, or others. The key is to look at your heart if we want it to change and experience a true transformation. When you get to the heart level, you deal with the disease, not the symptoms. You deal with the roots, not the leaves. You know, I don't know if you're a gardener, but you know how fast weeds grow up. And they have to be hoed or to use a tool to pull them out and to get the roots out. Not just cut them off at the top, but you have to find the roots of it. This is what we need to do when we want to restore our soul. We must find the root of our problems and bring them before the Lord and let the Holy Spirit bring them to us. So I thank you, Father, for this set of notes that I've been able to write. And Father, I pray that it will give understanding to the group before they come to the first class. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Give them an understanding that they're living, they have a spirit, they have a soul that needs to be restored because it's loaded with problems because of Adam. And they need a healthy connection with the Heavenly Father for our soul to be restored. And I'll talk to you more about that in part 2 of session 1. See you soon.